listening to Vet Candy.
Welcome. This is Dr. Jessica Turner, and you are listening to Living Well with Dr. Jessica. This is your one stop for all things health and wellness, where I bring the best of the best within the field for you to tune into. And y'all, I know I say it every time that I'm so excited about my guests, but I'm really excited. And I'll tell you why. There's a couple of reasons, but I got to listen to who I'm about to introduce a couple of weeks ago on a veterinary conference. And the whole time I was just like, we need to get him on the show. We need to get him on the show. Like, people need to hear this story. And because he's going to be talking about something that I'm equally as passionate about. And that is the overall picture of well-being and wellness and why it's something we need to be aware of and pursuing, especially within our field. And so finally going to share, you know, who we have. But our guest today is Dr. Quincy Hawley. He is a veterinarian graduate from North Carolina State. He is a motivational speaker, co-founder of Get Motivated, and co-host of Vet Candy Life, and of course, a husband and a dad of two. And like I said, I can't wait for you to hear his story. And so I'm just going to give it over to him so he could tell y'all a little bit about himself.
Hey, everybody. And thank you, Dr. Jessica, for having me here today. I'm just always really excited to share my story and to speak about my most favorite subject of all time is well-being, especially as it relates to members of the veterinary community. It's my firm belief that veterinary medicine was meant to be enjoyed and not painfully endured through. And that is certainly my purpose and role. Get Motivated has become a true passion project for myself and the co-founder, Renee Michelle. It's literally our purpose to make burnout a thing of the past for the entire global veterinary community. And so I'm terribly excited to have this conversation today.
Yes, it's so needed. And I just want to say, if you're listening and you're not within the veterinary community, it doesn't matter. Like, this applies to anyone and everyone. And I could tell you that I often wonder if I would still be practicing if there was more of a conversation going on about what we're about to dig into. Because I got to a point where I kind of felt like I had to choose whether I stayed within the field or kind of let everything else fall apart. I do believe now that there is a reason of all of those sequences, and it was to get me to what I'm doing today and working with veterinarians on their well-being as well. But I love that you talked about, like, it should be enjoyed. Like, so many of us went to school for so long and put so much into it, and we love what we do. We just don't know how to maintain that love. And so I honestly want to dive in if you're open to it, but I want them to hear your story. Where did you come from? What led to you kind of doing this work and having this passion for wellness?
I'm happy to share my story. But before I do that, though, I just want to say to you and to others who either reduce their roles and loads as veterinary professionals, or if you choose something differently altogether, unless you don't think there is a right or wrong, I think there is a path for everyone, and no path is any better or worse than another. So I commend you for whatever you do. As you hear my story a little bit as well, you'll hear how my has changed significantly from being a full-time practicing practitioner. And there was a lot of doubt and second-guessing myself and a little bit of fear in making that decision to change my role a little bit. Like, are people going to look at me as, you know, less of a veterinarian, or is my family going to look at me and say, hey, well, you're wasting your education dollars, you know, because you're not practicing full time and things like that. So all these things go through my mind, and I'm sure they go through a lot of other people's minds as well as they debate how to live their lives. And so a big part of what I'd like to do in this podcast today is empower people to do whatever you want to do. You know what I'm saying? If you want to change it up a little bit, we'll do that. And don't worry about the 10 most dangerous words in the world. And I'll tell you what those are towards the end of this conversation if you stick around. So born and raised in a small town, Oxford, North Carolina, and had a really cool family, mom, dad, brother, sister. I was the youngest. And I've had dogs since the day I was born. My dad and brother were big rabbit hunters. So I was born into a family of 20 beagles, okay? And we lived out in the country, so we would see like animals and stuff like that, all of them, right? And went to school to play tennis at North Carolina A&T Aggie Pride, and then went to veterinary school straight after that. And at NC State Medicine, was a food animal focused student, but in my fourth year, I did this big dairy extern up in the north, and it was freezing cold, and they were waking me up in the middle of the night to do C-sections, and I was like, and that's the end of that. And so I graduated from vet school and I went to work a small animal on the corporately owned practice. And it's really where my I would say, I didn't realize it at the time, but in hindsight, right? Job says you can connect the dots. You can't connect them looking forwards, but you can always connect them looking backwards. But that's where being journey actually started, Jessica. And it was really busy practice. I was seeing about 25 to 35 cases a day as a new grad, doing about 10 anesthetic procedures on my surgery days. And the big thing that I realize now is that I didn't have any healthy ways of coping with the day-to-day stress that I was facing. And an important part, or there are two important parts of this story, is that number one, I was what I call silently suffering. Meaning I was putting on the facade of someone who's happy and doing well. Meaning if other people looked at me from the outside looking in, it looked like I had things put together really well. I mean, he's young, he's a doctor, and he's producing and performing. I was the president of the North Carolina Association of Minority Veterinarians at the time. But because I didn't have any healthy coping mechanisms to deal with the stressful life I found myself in, I turned to unhealthy ways of coping with that stress. So like, I started drinking a lot and I started smoking and eating lots of food to kind of comfort the stress and things like that. Picked up about 45 pounds, was literally ripping pants in the exam room. You know, when I would go down to pick up a pet or something like that, do a physical exam, it was kind of embarrassing. But so before you know it, like, I was drinking and driving on the way home. And that's not something I was really proud of. Really leave work or go to the first gas station I would see on the way home, get an alcoholic beverage, pour it in the cup. I would drink, drive, and smoke on the way home. When I got home, there was another car where there was more alcohol in the trunk, and I'd take a couple of shots before I went in to face my family and my crazy dogs and that rooster we were talking about earlier. A lot of different things. And before I knew it, the days turned to weeks, weeks turned to months, and those months it turned into about 2.5, almost 3 years of living that way. And I was just miserable, man. I had suicidal ideation. I was literally hoping that my truck would just blow up on the way home or crash off into the woods. My wife and I thought of divorce, a few different times. And, she's a veterinarian as well. So that's kind of the rough part of the story, if you will. And thankfully, there was an upside to that.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy. In today's world, veterinary professionals have to stay current to stay relevant. That's why Vet Candy is launching master courses for continuing education. Courses are led by subject matter experts who guide participants through the latest research and cutting-edge technologies. The programs are free for veterinary professionals and can be accessed 24/7 on myvetcandy.com. Upon completion of a course, participants receive a Vet Candy Certificate of Completion, continuing education credits, and access to exclusive tools to help celebrate, recognize, and share your accomplishment. Want to learn more? Check out myvetcandy.com/certification today.
I think the reason your story hits home so much is because we know that there's so many out there that are stuck in that facade phase where you want to be able to live up to what you had in your mind, you know, going into being a veterinarian or being a husband or a wife or a parent or whatever it may be. And I think so often we have these ideas and expectations. And when we don't have healthy ways to manage with different outcomes, you know, we feel like we can't show that disappointment or that this is what life is now, you know, like this wasn't what I signed up for, you know? And so you don't want to acknowledge that. You don't want other people to be able to look into your life and acknowledge that as well. And so I can definitely relate to kind of living this, I don't know, like a fake life for a majority of my life, you know, where people think, like you said, you have it made, you have everything that anybody would desire, right? But you're secretly suffering, like you said. And I know when I first got out of school, I had just turned 24 when I graduated vet school. And when I look back, I'm like, I was still a kid. Like, I didn't know how to cope with anything. And then you're thrown into the reality of practice and demands of, you know, paying a mortgage or, you know, all these things that you don't necessarily have to factor in when you're in school. And I too turned to unhealthy habits such as drinking. I remember, you know, I feel like I lived at the Mexican restaurant in town because they had 2-for-1 margaritas, you know, and I'd go with some coworkers and, you know, we all were using that as a mechanism of coping. And I actually got to the point where I recognized that I was going down a road that I didn't want to. And I left that practice and started working somewhere else. And it did make a huge difference, but it wasn't until, like you, I came to terms that, okay, all of the methods I'm using to, you know, just cope with life in general are not helping. You know, they're just compounding the situation. And if I don't make some major changes, you know, this isn't going to end well. It essentially took my doctor telling me you need to do something because I was struggling with depression after having my girls and was just in a really low place as well and trying to navigate, you know, a new season of life on top of the stress of what we have, you know, as vets. And so I think that too is why what I kind of want to dig in with you hit home. You know, we hear so much talk about burnout and compassion fatigue and just all these terms that lead to veterinarians either stepping away or, you know, we know that there's a problem with the suicide rate. I've lost someone really close to me within our field from suicide. So when you talked about these three different forms of well-being on the talk that I was able to listen into, it just made things so clear. And I think for our listeners that are tuning in, if they truly have no idea where they stand with you explaining your three categories of well-being, I think it will be really eye-opening so they could identify where they're at and how to move forward. So do you mind sharing about that with our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll up that back one more time here. And I really want to hark on what we're talking about in terms of people silently suffering and putting on the facade of someone who's happy when they could in actuality be really, really struggling. And I, like you, have had, especially in 2020, I've had a run-in with suicide, both personally and professionally. So on June 3rd of 2020, my workout partner, my good friend, like we would go run hills together. You know, he took his own life, and he was only one young African-American guy. And I just never would have looked at my friend to do that. And prior to then, my experience with suicide was just purely conceptual, right? Like, it's like, you know, it's this thing, you know, it's bad, but until you've kind of experienced it, I think that, it really shook me up. And then 60 days later, a neighbor two houses closer, we're all in the same shared driveway, took his own life as well. And so this is a guy who lived literally two houses away from me, and my friend lives five houses away from me. And then in November of the same year, 2020, there was a technician about 30 minutes from here, 22, young, and she took her own life. And I remember one of the things that her coworkers said when we went in to the suicide debriefing for the hospital was that she was one of the strongest people. She would spin singing. She looked happy. She would dance, and that they expected it. And one thing that we do with Get Motivated, of course, is reaching out to hospitals, trying to implement our programs and our tools and our strategies and our resources and everything else. And oftentimes we'll say, we don't have a problem here. People are happy. And how do you know? You don't know. You don't know. What do you know? I don't know. Like, nobody knows, right? And so it's just really important to make sure that you're just providing the most robust of resources, regardless of what you think your team has or doesn't have, or is feeling or not feeling, because we just can't read minds. So, but with that being said, I'll kind of, you know, change it to that just a little bit. But that's one thing that I always try to put in all my presentations now is like, look, you just don't know. You can silently suffer there. But with the three phases of well-being, something that I kind of discovered back as soon as I started teaching this stuff, and it really came from me being confused is I don't know what as it relates to well-being, right? Because I had this life where, I mean, I literally have had like over 50 trophies as an athlete, you know, gotten to my first try, A's and B's as a student, honor awards. You have all this stuff, and from the outside of something good, I'm like, wait, how in the heck can that have poor well-being and burnout and suicidal ideation? I was confused. And so I sort of came up with these three different categories. There's true well-being, which I think is what we're all aiming for. And true well-being is something that's intentionally cultivated. It's intentionally created. It's deliberate. And it's something that you are doing frequently, and it's well thought out, right? And I always throw personal development and self-care as a part of that definition. But the big thing is it's an intentionally created state of being happy, healthy, and prosperous, right? And so the other category, and this is the big one, because most people just think poor well-being and then, or you have well-being, but there is a really, really, really big one, right? And I think that most people are in with this one, pseudo well-being. So well-being or false well-being, where you maybe think that you're well, and from the outside looking in, you probably look well, and maybe even to yourself, you feel well. And in that moment, it's coincidental, because there's nothing that you're doing deliberately to really just beef up your well-being knowledge and your skills and tools and the strategies and the tactics that you need to be able to handle life when it gets tough. And I believe that I lived the first 29 to 30 years of my life in pseudo well-being, where because just things were good, you know, I had my family there and I had the communities to support me, and I didn't have anything really bad in my life until I got basically graduated from veterinary school, right? Then once those challenges came in, you know, I lost four uncles in a year and a half. Then I lost a coworker to cancer, the bills and all the things you were talking about, like these things start in. And it's basically like, just imagine people living on an island, right? And it's a beautiful, sunny island and everything's just all terrific. And they neglect to build an army and to build a system to protect themselves from intruders. And then one day they look across the ocean and they see flags, a lot of flags, and a lot of boats get in to their island. Well, guess what? Goodbye to all the happy joy and sun, because that army that's coming across the ocean is about to take your women and children and kill off all the men. There's that, right? And so I kind of look at it the same way in veterinary medicine, that we're coming in to bat with nothing to fight with, and with no strategy, even if we have something with. And in essence, if you're coming in pseudo well-being, and some of us are coming in poor well-being, you're going to get crushed. And that was my case, at least. And so I'll at least speak for myself.
I mean, it makes so much sense. You know, it's so easy to fall into that trap of thinking everything's good, not even from looking from the outside into others, but within yourself, if everything is good, you know, when you have things start piling up, And I think naturally over time, regardless if you have like a major life event that you can put your finger on, you know, if you have years and years of either poor well-being or pseudo well-being with these tiny day-to-day stressors that just keep piling on top of each other, it does feel like one day you just wake up and it's like you can't breathe. You know, like you're being suffocated by the weight of all of these, you know, these attacks, kind of like that visualization that you gave with the island, and you are weaponless. You have no idea what to do. And I find that so often when I connect with other people, you know, that have stories similar to ours, I know it took me hitting a rock bottom. And I'm always trying to tell people, you don't have to hit a rock bottom to wake up and see, oh, I got poor well-being, or I'm in this pseudo well-being. And I honestly don't even know the first idea of how to move forward. Well, I'm going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to give our readers an opportunity to, okay, where am I at in this scale? But more importantly, what do I need to do to make sure I am ready, you know, for battle whenever everything isn't so good anymore? And so we'll be right back and we'll see you in a minute.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy. As a veterinarian, it's important to perfect your clinical skills. That's why Vet Candy created a master course in toxicology. The master course is taught by a board-certified criticalist and delivers a thorough evaluation of the science and clinical practice skills needed to master toxicology, from decontamination to treatment. And when you complete the course, you receive exclusive tools to celebrate, recognize, and share your accomplishment. And what's even more exciting, the course is free and provides RACE and New York State approved continuing education credits. This program is brought to you by Vitoquinol. Start learning today at myvetcandy.com/talks. Start learning today at myvetcandy.com/TOX.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. I'm here with Dr. Quincy, and we are about to dig into some action steps on what you could do to ensure that you're in this true well-being category, or at least try to stay there as much as we can, and have the confidence of knowing that you're equipped if you do slide back.
One more thing on the pseudo well-being. I think COVID-19 probably confirmed the whole concept of pseudo well-being being a thing when this external circumstance came in. It's been tough for everybody, myself included. But knowing that I've had this just toolbox of resources and strategies intact, I can tell you that I have, you know, one of the things I talk about in my talks is perspective. There's an advantage in every disadvantage, there's opportunity in all chaos, and life's always happening for you and not you. There have been a handful of individuals whose lives, they've gotten better instead of bitter from COVID-19. And also just a plethora of individuals who did not, right? Haven't gotten their learnings from the whole thing, and in their lives just got exceptionally bad. And I want to be sensitive to the fact that there could be people who have lost them due to COVID. And obviously, you know, I've had the three suicides, but even still, you're in a state of true well-being. Your well-being does not fluctuate and go up and down the rising and the setting of the sun and the changing of circumstances, conditions, and life events. And that's what true well-being is. True well-being says no matter how bad it is or how bad it's, that I'm only going to get better and grow from the challenging things that happen in life. When you adopt that perspective and that mindset and that way of life, it's, to me, you've done it. Right? Because you realize that my mentor told me that there is an equal or greater advantage in every advantage, right? So that means that your worst days essentially can become your best days if you have the ability to look at that day and say, okay, what can I really from this day, right? If you have a terrible week, what can I take away from this week as opposed to just getting through the day or just getting through the week like most people do? But okay, so if you want to talk about like specific strategies and things that are like, how can people, if you're in pseudo well-being or if you're in poor well-being or if you're in true well-being, like how do you stay there, all that jazz. And the biggest thing kind of teaching from at the moment is a framework or a five-step formula that I've come up with. I think it's very basic. I think that it's very cost-effective in that you can learn most of it for free. Just through other resources and things like that. But if you think that's a good idea, I know you've heard some of those, some of the five steps before, then I'll just kind of walk down through each one of those and we discuss a little bit, or if you want something more specific, I can do that too.
I love that you already talked on perspective and seeing obstacles or failures as learning opportunities, because I do think those are so key. I mean, there was another presenter in that same conference that actually talked about there being a correlation between people that have faced more trials and like their resilience. But it's if you kind of lean in and learn and choose to grow through those struggles. And I think just simply being aware of the power of perspective and that opportunity to grow is the game changer. And if you kind of go through life and you're kind of like oblivious to the power that you have, you know, because I find it's encouraging because you control that. And yeah, sometimes it's so difficult. And, you know, I have people that speak into my life that remind me, you need to shift your perspective, you know, and that's normal. We're human, you know, we need that outside help sometimes. But when you truly recognize that you have that ability and that power per se, it just gives you so much hope. You know, like we know we're going to deal with life, you know, throwing us curveballs and they're going to suck and they're going to hit us sometimes. And, but if we could go in with that mindset, it's just, it really is life changing. So I'm glad you talked on that. So yeah, I do think it would be wonderful for you to dive in with your five things. And that would be a wonderful way for people to leave this episode with some tools.
Awesome. And I think you mentioned something I'm actually going to throw in there, and it's probably a part of the five steps in some fashion, but I believe that I have a talk that I do called Build a Robust Wellbeing Army, or How to Build a Robust Wellbeing Army. And you just said that really keep me off to that. You said that you have people in your life who sometimes remind you to shift your perspective. So number one, I would say start now building a robust support network of individuals. And I'm not just talking about go get Tom from down the street you barely know or who's halfway doing worse than you are. But I'm just trying to surround yourself with winners as it relates to being fulfilled, having purpose, inner peace in life. And you don't have to neglect the people who don't have it together, but that's powerful. Get rid of some of the negative people from life. And again, you don't have to like cut them off completely, but you've got to know who is filling you and who the vampires are, who the vacuum cleaners are, who the hoovers are, sucking all the life energy you. And you got to limit yourself from being around them. And I've had to do that with family members, like people I love about a lot. But every time I talk to you, you're bringing me down, right? Because that's not useful to whatever you're trying to do as it relates to well-being. But on the contrary, listening to podcasts like, you know, going to Vet Can Life, listening to that, join the Get Motivated community. Like we have tons of people who are also veterinarians, and then getting outside of medicine and finding some communities of positive people and things like that. Because I've learned a lot of my stuff from people who are not veterinarians. And that's why I even created Get Motivated in the first place, to extrapolate from non-veterinary, just powerful stuff, help me transform my life and bring it to the veterinary community where I know it wasn't being taught, because I had many of it. And I'd been in vet med, it seems like, for the last 8 to 12 years, right? And there are some people doing it, you know, Betsy Charles, I heard her at the Veterinary Leadership Conference, and Henry Holloway Chuck, I think she's out of Canada, but I was hearing some things. I'd already started being on that journey at first. Okay, so it's to build a robust support network. The other part is to become self-reliant as well. And that speaks to something else that Jessica said, is like realizing that there's a principle of power in every person. And there's a principle of power in you, like whoever you are, wherever you are, listen to this. There's a principle of power in you that will allow you to go in whatsoever direction that you choose to grow. You have that, you can't have it. All right. It's not something that I'm trying to give you. It's something you already have. I'm just know that you have it. Okay. If you want to use it, then, you know, start hanging around communities and it'll be out of you. But really quickly, run through the five-step framework and formula. I'm going to do it less than 4 minutes, okay? So the first part is perspective. You know, that's arguably the most important, because you can have what society thinks is the best life, but if you think you have the worst life, then that's what matters, right? If you have everything you would ever want, but you're still for some reason miserable, you don't realize that you have it, then that's a perspective thing that can be off a little bit. Like maybe you've achieved everything you ever wanted to, but for some reason, you're still not happy. And maybe there's a perspective shift in there. And then things like, get better instead of bitter from the things that happen in your life, and a handful of other things are common ones that I talk about. But that's the absolute first thing. It is a must. It is a must. It is a must. If the perspective is off, then the rest of it will just not work. Number two part of the formula is going to be what I consider your self-belief and your core beliefs. Core beliefs. Do you believe that it's possible to be a veterinary professional and a human and to be doing both of those things, to be well doing both of those things? Do you believe that that's possible? Some wise carpenter from the plains of Galilee of Nazareth said that it is done unto you as you have believed. And when I think about actually where I keep that around my neck at all times, because I just remind myself, like, dude, if you believe that you can be the type of person to have, amazing well-being, help animals in some way, form, or fashion, and, help veterinarians as well, then that'll be my reality and it'll reflect that. And then self-belief part is really just believing it to yourself that you can, A, that principle of power within yourself, and then B, to go out and create the life that you want yourself, okay? So that would be the second one, belief.
That, I think that was one of the first things that I had to really wrap my head around when I started on my own journey, just recognizing that how much that self-talk really, it sets the stage for everything. And I just want to say, if you're listening and you're kind of recognizing that you've kind of been stuck in a place that you're not too excited about realizing you're at, and you've been there for a long time, you do have so much power within your grasp to change these things, but also remember that you've been living majority of your life stuck in this place. And so it's going to take work. It's going to take days of feeling like you're going forward, and then you take, more steps backwards. So don't get frustrated. I feel like I have to remind myself so often of how far I've come, because I feel like I should be further in some areas that are specific struggles to myself regarding like self-talk and belief. But I had a lot of stuff to rewrite and undo, and so just give yourself time, give yourself grace, but always come back to recognizing and claiming that power that you have, and the power in your words. Your brain's going to find support, things to support whatever you're telling it. And so if you keep saying that something's impossible, like your example, I'm so guilty of that. I cannot be well-balanced and healthy, in the terms that I want, and practice within the veterinary field. It's a struggle for me, and I recognize that that's a story that I tell myself too. And so just really being aware of that, your brain's going to support whatever you're telling it.
That is so powerful. And I'm very careful with my words. I do get it sometimes. I am so quick to change that though when I catch it, because just from experience, I have just witnessed just the power of your word, or of the spoken word, the things that I speak, things that I write down, the things that I think about, I believe, tend to be my experience. And so I always want to make sure that. And keeping that sort of to your point there, but very important. And also to Jessica's point, these things do take time. And that's why I'm telling you now, surround yourself with people who have been through this journey, who have overcome some difficult things, because then you will know that it's normal for you to be going through very similar things. And so the bookshelf behind me with 180 books on it, and a lot of them are about people who overcome severe adversity to achieve great success. And so I know that when I have hardship, when I have a difficulty, like it's a part of the process, kind of, you know what I mean? So Oprah went through it, and a lot of people went through these things. And when you see so many different people, it just normalizes it. You know, it makes you feel like you're not an anomaly necessarily.
I want to jump in real quick because, you know, we keep talking about support system and surrounding yourself and get mentors. And I know that's been such a huge part of my own journey as well. And it's vital. But if you're like, I don't have anybody, like, I don't know, who am I going to, you know, use as a mentor? Dr. Quincy just answered that. You don't have to have a physical person as your support system. Yeah, you do want that. But so often when you're starting on this journey, you're probably going to be on it by yourself. And so I know for me, so much came from podcasts and books and YouTube video, you know, whatever. You could search motivational, you know, whatever on YouTube, and you'll find like hours worth of stuff. And so
I call it YouTube University, baby. I say go to YouTube University, enroll yourself, and get a degree.
I just wanted to touch on that. Don't get stuck and be like, oh, well, I don't have anybody. Like, I guess I'm just not going to have a support system. No, you create your own support system. And the longer you do this, you'll realize you're going to come in contact with people, real people, that you could actually, you know, have friendships with that will become part of your support system as well.
We could do another episode on that in and of itself, right? Like our different strategies for that. Because so many stories, just like how I've even manifested, like I'll be listening to an audiobook and at the end, all the author, I'll straight up like call them up. And then they'll be like my personal coach and friend. I had a conversation with a guy who wrote an audiobook that I found on Amazon's Audible. You know, you just never know who you can get in contact with. But like Jessica, that is one of the biggest things that I've done, is to say that a virtual mentor can be a part of your support network. I used to joke and say that Oprah Winfrey, I've got her on speed dial. Like literally, I'll just type in Oprah Winfrey top 10. I'll hit search on YouTube, and then boom, Oprah's like preaching to me, talking to me like she's my friend. I mean, I can do that for anybody who I look up to and aspire to be like that. So
we'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Hey pet parents, this is your favorite lifestyle guru, Renee Michelle, and I'm excited to tell you about my new show on Pet Candy. Join me and make some cute pet stuff. Talk about life and love and everything in between. Check out the Renee Michelle Show on mypetcandy.com and let's have some fun.
Next one is going to be commit. All right. Have you committed to having a life for yourself as a veterinary professional and as a human, as a mom, as a dad, as a whatever? Have you made a commitment? And if you did, what did it look like? When did you make it? I mean, you know, like how often did you repeat it? Like, can you describe that commitment to yourself? And one of my mentors, Wallace Waddle, says, if you have not committed to being healthy, wealthy, and excellent, then you have, by default, unconsciously committed to being unhealthy, poor, and mediocre. And I think that for well-being, you're like, no, I haven't committed to well-being, but I also haven't committed to poor well-being. The inverse of not committing to well-being is committing to burnout, committing to compassion fatigue and all of its cousins, relatives, and all of its different manifestations. And so I think there really needs to be a constant commitment. And like, as a well-being enthusiast, I say this to myself all the time. Like when I wake up in the morning, like I am the type of professional who lives a life of personal and professional well-being, point blank, the end. That's the bottom line. And I say that, and I honestly believe, going back to belief, that that is my reality. So unless that carpenter didn't know what he was talking about and or he was lying, I'm good, right? If that's my true belief. Okay, so that's commitment. And you know, I've covered this in lot of webinars and stuff like that. So number four would be, is really powerful. I want to hear your thoughts on this, but creative imagination. So the ability to be able to sort of what I consider idealize, see, or write down on a sheet of paper, like what you think your ideal life would like. And then, so that would be idealization. And then visualization is your ability to close your eye and to see what you wrote down and like put yourself in that mental picture, get the feeling of what it would be like to have that which you created in your mind. And I think that is just so important, because a lot of people, and I've coached people who before who were down, it's like, so if you had a magic wand, or if you had a genie lamp like Aladdin, like what would your dream life look like? And I remember I asked that to one my surgery nurse, my anesthesia nurse, when I was doing a spay once, and she said, "I have no idea." In the book that I wrote, I went into grand detail, like, if you have no idea what your ideal life would look like, do you think you're just going to coincidentally end up there? Just type into your GPS, take me to point B, and then not putting in any address. Like, it'd be like, okay, you could already be it, you know, but you just don't know, right? So what do you think about creative imagination?
No, I definitely have utilized those two, you know, principles when I was just starting out. And like you said, I was one of those people that I was like, I don't know, you know, and I always think of the analogy of, you know, getting in your car and you're going somewhere, but like, if you don't even know where you're going, like, you're just going to sit in your car. Like, what, you know, what's the point? Like you said, you're not going to wake up one day and you're just going to be living your perfect day. And so I think that's the first thing that people need to ask, you know, if you're listening to this and you're saying, you know, I don't know either, like, take some time and write that out. And there's just something really powerful about creating a blank space for you to just empty your brain, you know, your thoughts. I try to do that. I don't do it every day, but I do it several times a week where I just write whatever's going on in my head. And it's been so eye-opening, because we have a lot of stuff that's kind of tucked back there, but unless you take the time to just like be still and recognize it, you really have no idea, like, you know, what you could tap into until you start asking these questions or just allowing, you know, yourself to kind of dream again. I feel like I forgot how to dream after like going to school, and, you know, like, we just study and remember all these facts and we don't really come up with our own ideas a lot of times.
Yeah, I mean, we're so aligned, you know. The first book that I wrote was titled Hard Work Ain't Hard Work, How to Discover, Pursue, and Achieve Your Dream Life. Because what really got the gears turning for me was like, Quincy, when I made that commitment to myself, and I think I forgot to tell that part of the story too, like how I like came out of that rut. But basically, it was the day after the 2016 presidential election, I made a commitment to myself that I was going to live a much better and more full, I wanted to reach my full potential, that I wanted to live my dreams, right? It wasn't well-being at the time, because that word meant nothing to me. It was, I was listening to some motivational speakers like Les Brown, and he was talking about live your dream. And so I really just believed that I could do that. And I sat there and I wrote out, I still got the sheet of paper. It was called my dream life description. And on it, and this is what Jessica's saying, like, you don't have to be spot on with what it is you put down. You're not a psychic, you don't know, all this other stuff. But I put down on there, this is so funny, this was literally in 2016, maybe early 2017 when I did it, but I put that I wanted to be the owner of my own life help company, because I didn't have any other words or terminology for it. And that eventually turned into Your Dream Life Services was the first like big idea that I had for helping other people. And then that turned into Dream Life Motivation, you know, Discover Pursuit. And then that turned into, you know, sort of bringing that to the veterinary community. And that was born, you know, Get Motivated at Veterinary Wellbeing Solutions. And I kind of changed dream to wellbeing a little bit, because I think that they're very similar. But most of what I wrote down on that sheet of paper back then, I'm telling you, has manifested in the most predictable of ways. And I've got so many stories that would just blow your mind that have never been told to the veterinary community before, that I tell to the business world when I'm doing it for the business world, and that people are just like, you're making that up. And I'm like, I can't, you know? And it just gives me chills just thinking about some of this stuff. But I assure you, if you start that sifting process of this is what I like, this is what I don't like, I'll do more of what I like and less of what I don't like. Like, that is so like A equals B, B equals C. You know what I'm saying? A equals C. Like, what do you not like about your current situation and you like? Do less of what you don't like and more of what you like. Like, that's a very simple way instantly get happier. it really is. And you know, the more cool of challenges that you've had in your life, like, I'm not saying this is going to be easy, but what I am saying and what I'm saying is that it will be effective. Okay. And you're not going to spend 10 minutes doing this and then tomorrow be better. Nope. Because Jessica said what? Take some time. And I'm going to add to that a lot of some time, and even more, and even more, and even more, and even more. What choice do you have if you ain't feeling your life right now? Right? Like, just honest. Like, I literally spent hours and hours and hours. I would wake up an hour, sometimes 2 hours earlier, just to come sit in the same exact room that I am in right now. I would meditate, pray for an hour, do a little workout, and then I would be introspective for an hour, maybe 45 minutes, and just think about my ideal, think about my dream, and then listen to some people talk about how they achieved the things that I wanted to achieve. And it became a very scientific process. And that's why I love teaching this stuff to other people, because it's very scientific to me. Which brings me to point number 4, and this will nail it all home: massive action. The fifth part of the formula is that you must take massive action towards that which you want to achieve. If you're a veterinarian, you know how to take massive action. And get into vet school without massive action. And so what I'm asking you to do now, for vet, you did what? You invested time, a whole lot of it. You invested energy, a whole lot of it. And you invested money, a whole heck of a lot of it, right? Unless you were one of those evil people who got a full ride. I mean, you know how to spend time, money, and energy towards a thing. You spent your clinical knowledge, and now you're probably at least half decent at veterinary medicine. And one of our student representatives from Purdue's College of Veterinary Medicine, her name is Juliana Frenette. She works as hard for her well-being as she would for an A on an exam. And to me, like, that's how it's got to be. Well-being is not an effortless thing. Like, it's not something that you're just gonna, you know, like, yeah, I show up to one of my talks and then be good for the rest of your life. No, because I'm going to tell you, like, there's some work that you have to do, right? And so massive action is such an important part of the process, you know?
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy. Vet Candy IRL is an exciting podcast from the hearts, minds, and mouths of Shannon Gregoire, Tatiana Rogers, and Lexi Rodriguez. The show celebrates inspirational role models and focuses on empowerment and equality. Check it out on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and more.
I love that you compared it to what's required to get through, you know, veterinary school, because when I started making changes, that was the mindset that I had. Like, I need to take this as serious as I did that. And I also had to remember that we have years, you know, under our belts of learning and training, and we still feel like we don't know what we're doing when we get out of school, for the most part, you know? And so it's the same concept, you know, you're constantly practicing these principles and getting better with each day. And then you're going to get to a point where you do feel equipped, you know, because you've been practicing consistently for so long. Well, I think it is the perfect way to wrap up by, let's remind people what you're a part of, how they could find you. I think it's just the perfect way to take massive action is to get connected and plug in to what Dr. Quincy has to offer.
For sure, for sure. So I do a lot of speaking, and you know, I was once on a flight to the University of Illinois, and to give a 50-minute talk. My wife was 9 months pregnant. It was going to be less than 24-hour trip. I slept in the airport, but on the way to that talk, I said to myself, "Dude, like, you know that 50 minutes is not really enough to transform these students' lives when you really want to form it." And so Renee and I have been talking about, you know, put an online platform. But on that trip, the online platform, Get Motivated University, the world's first school of well-being for professionals, was born. And that's where we have over 40 plus non-approved content. We've got 12 race-approved credit hours. One of the professions, a few suicide prevention race-approved courses there with a suicide expert. And we've just got a lot of video, audio, and written content there. And we do live classes and things like that. So that's www.getmotivateduniversity.com. You can check it out. To me, it's what helped me, right? I said, I basically put myself in well-being school in order to get myself in a situation where it wasn't a thing anymore. So I wanted to create a well-being school for others. Well, I've read probably over 300 books now, read or listened to them. And I extrapolate a lot of this stuff I have not only read, but utilized and practiced in my own life. And I put it there in terms in which veterinary professionals can relate to that, because there just wasn't a ton of that out there already. And you can find all that at getmotivateduniversity.com. I'm on Instagram at dr.quincy. And we've got a Facebook community that you can check out as well, where we hang out and doubt on all things veterinary well-being related. I'm a well-being nerd. Yes, I am. I love to geek and stuff. And not an expert, not a guru, just an enthusiast as it relates to getting my way in life and veterinary medicine and things like that. So that's a study every day, all day, or as much as I can, at least. So, but this, it's been an honor. Skip, thank you so much for having me here on the show. You're awesome. We have to talk outside of the show so that we can just do more things together, create some collaborative things, as people need to hear your story as much as they need to hear mine. And we're obviously on the same page too. So I really appreciate you.
Yeah, it was a pleasure having you. I agree. I feel like we could talk forever, but we may have to break that up into some future episodes. But I just want to thank our listeners for tuning in. I know that this has just been a phenomenal call for you, as it was the first time I had the pleasure of listening to Dr. Quincy. And I hope you take some massive action and go check out what he has to offer along with Renee. And we'll see you next time. Again, thanks for joining us and listening to Living Well with Dr. Jessica. Bye.
You're listening to Vet Candy.